You are now listening or perhaps watching over on YouTube, the Claim It Podcast with me, your host, Trisha Huffman, also known as your Joyologist. Oh, my goal for this podcast is for you to feel less alone on this wild and windy journey of being human, to give yourself a shit ton more compassion as we move through this life, to stop comparing yourself to others, but to show yourself love and to see there's no one right way, best way. There's no perfect timeline or age or any of the things. You're here. It's your life. Let yourself be in it now and not one day when you have this, that, etc. Today I want to share, I was going to name this episode three things that I stopped doing, and perhaps I still will name it that. But we'll see where it goes. I think I do have the three things I stopped, but then I was like, oh, I want to say this. And I also want to say this. That's a thing when I do the solo episodes, I feel like I can get more drifty. Actually, what am I talking about? I think we can get drifty in the conversational episodes too. Anyway, that's who I am. So, three things that I've stopped doing. One, trying to change anyone else's mind or even share new or correct information via social media comments. I do believe there was a time where in comments, whether somebody, made a comment on my post and I would try to be like, oh, if they didn't agree with what I was saying or they said something that they thought was in line with what I was saying, but really I read that like, no. I used to like comment back to people to try to like, no, I mean this. Oh, but it's this. No, this or whatever. Same thing, seeing other people's posts and wanting to comment. So I do comment and I do interact with commenters on my posts, but usually only in a cheering on sort of way. Or, oh, tell me more, or something like that. Or that's so interesting. Or, oh, but even like lately, because of, the Taylor Swift Eras Tour phenomenon, I'll see people like on TikTok, like doing this research of, y'all, I figured out how she's going to get her stages to this country and this country. Or somebody was like, this is why she gave her semi-truck drivers this big of bonuses, because she has so much gear that they have to crisscross this, whatever. Which, by the way, it is freaking epic that she gave her teams, her crew, her truck drivers such amazing bonuses. That is so rare. It's rare to even get a bonus when you work endlessly for an artist for like years at a time. It is interesting, which again, not all of them are making as much money as Taylor Swift. So there's also that. But anyway, I worked in the touring world for over a decade, so I understand tour logistics. I was a sound engineer. I was even a tour manager for a little bit, but more so sound engineer, and then I also toured as a joyologist. But I know the technical details. And so I'll see people making these videos, and they're so excited to be sharing the information that they have figured out or researched, and they may even like, oh, and I know because, my friend's dad is a truck driver, and so I have this information, and it's not all false, but like they, and I'm like, well, yeah, that's, it's not any different than any other tour. She does have a big tour, but there are other people with big tours, and that's like how they do it anyway. So parts of me will want to weigh in on certain things about sound, about the microphones, about in-ears, which is, what they're, the things they wear in their ears. Technical things that I do know factual information about, and I'll start to reply, type a comment, and I'll be like, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It really does not matter. It doesn't matter. And this is for so many things. It's like, well, what am I hoping to get from here? Like, it's not really that big of a deal. These people that are like saying these are the facts or this, or they're sharing this information and people are excited about it, like telling them like the actual, like, it's not that big of a deal. First of all, they might not even care about my comment. Nobody might even read it, but I'm like, is it even worth me putting this energy out there? So in so many, things, as, like I said, especially social media, which I love social media, obviously. I've been there for a long time. I still share a lot, mostly on Instagram and TikTok, @_TrishaHuffman. And I'm still inspired by people there, and it brings me joy. Like, that's the thing. I use social media of, like, what, why am I here? For me, it's been connection and inspiration. So whether I'm trying to share that or that's what I'm looking for, and sometimes that's, like, cooking inspiration, and sometimes it's inspiration to get out of my own way, or inspiration of, oh, what am I going to do next? Oh, wow, right. There's all these possibilities. Anyway. So I do love social media, but I barely engage in comments, and that's been for several years now. Like I said, I will comment on other people's stuff, cheering them on. Yes, you got this. Good job. That's so awesome. Whatever. People who write on, comment on my stuff, I will engage with, but I would love to have a conversation with someone, an actual we are speaking conversation, to try to, like, oh, this is how it is, or, oh, let me see that side of it. But trying to argue or even just communicate or get a point across with somebody via social media comments, it's rarely going to actually, like, feel good and get the message delivered. So that's one thing I stopped trying, to change anyone else's mind or even deliver information via social media comments. I will still make posts. I'll make a reel, I'll make a statement, I'll do this, I'm putting information out there, but I'm not going to get in the comments and try to convince somebody, or even try to, like, understand where they're coming from. Like, we can talk deeper about that, but not in the comments. Second thing I stopped doing is, like, trying to convince people, and this is whether it's in the real world, like, oh, I met this, you know, mom at school and it seemed like we got along, we would make great friends, or in online world, oh my gosh, we're so similar, we talk about similar things, we blah blah blah, blah. I have made a lot of amazing friends through social media, seriously. And even, like, podcast guests, right? People that I have on my podcast were usually because I was introduced to them on social media. Then we have the conversation, and then we, like, form this bond, and then we do. Like, there's so many people that I have never met in real life that I feel deeply supported by and that I aim to deeply support as well. So that is a possibility. And then also there's some people that I have thought, but we have so much in common and we live in the same city even. And we had a great conversation, even on my, they were same thing, they have people I've had on my podcast where it felt like, yes, oh my gosh, you're my people, I'm your people. And then be like, oh, do you want to go for a hike? Do you want to go for a hike? And do you want to go for, okay, maybe not. And to know that that doesn't mean anything about me. First of all, that person's life just may be a lot for them where they don't have much scheduling bandwidth, or they have a lot going on with their own lives and the people that they already have in their friendship circle. So I don't have to make it mean like, oh, they don't like me enough. They don't want to hang out with me. And that same thing, whether it's for the mom at school or whoever I met, then I'm like, we're jiving. I don't know where that word's coming from, but, like, look at us. We're so great together. You could be my new bestie. Oh my gosh, this is so exciting. Which I'm like a dreamer. Sure, you wouldn't have thought that for me, like, dreaming about everything. So whether it's like, oh, I, you know, you see a guy and like, oh my gosh, blah, 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 we're going to end up together. I can, like, quickly jump into that. Not so much these days, in my older years. I feel like I'm barely attracted to anybody these days. Well, that's for another podcast. But no, like, for friendships even, like, oh, like, something feels so good, I could jump to, like, we're on vacation together with our families or something like that. build a story real fast for what the rest of our friendship will look like. And then it might actually be that our friendship looks like that when we happen to run into each other, we exchange words and we laugh and that's it. So the second thing I've stopped doing is like trying to convince people to be my friends or like hang out with me. And it's not as if I was in the past trying to convince them, but just letting go of that energy. It's like, I'm still around and I can still put myself out there and be like, hey, yeah, oh yeah, I'd love to see you. Oh yeah, hey, let me know. Hey, if you have any other time, let's do it. But not feeling this pressure of, well, how come they don't want to hang out with me? How come they don't? And what does that mean? Does that mean that they don't think that I'm good enough? Or does that mean that they're like jealous of me or they're uneasy of me because we have, you know, books about similar topics or whatever the things are? It's just like, yeah, their life, I don't know. We don't ever really know what's happening in someone's life and also in somebody's mind, right? And people are able to manage things differently than others. Like, I'm someone who can juggle a lot and make time for people and want to meet new people and build connections with them and this. And then I also go through times too where I'm like, you can barely get me to leave my house. That's a lot. I'm getting so much better about getting out and being more social and it feels good. But there's definitely been some times where I'm like, there, it takes a lot to get me to go be social. Anyway, so that it doesn't mean anything about me if the person doesn't want my book, if the person acts like when we're talking that, oh my gosh, yes, we have so much in common, we're going to be besties, and that's the energy I'm picking up from them, and then from furthermore, everything's a dead end. It doesn't have to mean anything about me. And I don't like cut these people off or like, oh, I'm never going to talk to that person or support them or comment on their stuff again. No, I'm still here. I'm going to show you love. I'm going to put this out there. And again, it's not that I'm pushing this energy of like, but like me, choose me, let's go for that hike. Remember? It's like, hey, I'm here. I'm going to love you and cheer you on regardless of what you got for me. And there are some friends, by the way, this is how I've mostly been my entire life, but there have been times where I can dive into making that mean something that they're not. And some friends that I have from like 15 years ago are still like shocked, like, wow, like Trisha's just this friend that like years can go by and then she's just there and she's still cheering you on and she's still like this and I'm not asking for anything even in return. But like, here you go. So stopped trying to make meaning. I stopped making meaning about, you know, who's making plans with me, how other people are interacting with me, and also just like trying to convince people to follow me, to like me, to want to be friends with me, I guess. Whether you're someone who has used protein powders before or has never, trust me when I tell you that adding Sprout Living's epic protein line into your life will make a huge difference. I'm someone that for years and years and years and years and years had a smoothie almost every single day. And I went through so many protein powders. Some of them taste gross. They're overly sweet. They aren't sweet at all. They have lots of different filler, random ingredients. When I toured as a joyologist, I was often making smoothies daily for myself and for other people. And it took a long time because I would have a bajillion ingredients that I put in there. That's why I was so happy to find Sprout Living. Their blends are delicious and made with the best ingredients. I don't add anything else often. Sometimes I seriously just put the scoops in a water, like shaker bottle with water and drink it like that. Lately, I've been adding a scoop to plain vegan yogurt and adding berries for breakfast or a snack. Maybe do frozen spinach, frozen banana, and water in a smoothie. but they have such amazing ingredients and they freaking taste good. Because I love food. I like to eat things that help support my body, but it has to taste good. Their flavors are amazing and everything they put in is so mindful and purposeful. It isn't just protein. There's nootropics, there's superfoods, adaptogens, prebiotics. And again, the flavors are delicious. For me, it's the perfect sweetness. Like Mindful Matcha is one of the blends. I am so picky about matcha. This matcha flavor is so good with the perfect amount of sweetness. So go check out Sprout Living at sproutliving.com. Use code CLAIMIT for 20% off of anything. Try. They have sampler packs of the flavors. Like I said, all the flavors are so good. I've been lately doing like the ant or Green Kingdom one, which is more greens and spirulina and stuff in it. Even that one tastes really, really great. Everything that they do is so high quality. You can hear my conversation with the founder, Mark Malinsky, on a previous podcast. Go check them out. Sproutliving.com. Use code CLAIMIT for 20% off. Trust me, it's an easy way to be adding more protein and valuable nutrients to your body on a daily basis. Third thing that I've stopped doing, and again, this is, I'm saying that I've stopped doing, but a lot of these are things that I barely ever did, but I can get caught up in. So this one is putting my worth in the amount of followers I have, the amount of shares or likes, the amount of downloads the podcast has, no matter in the amount of people that sign up for my courses. By the way, I launched something new, a daily text subscription, daily text messages to your phone. You don't have to go on social media. You don't have to go in your inbox. Bam, they just show up on your phone every single day to love you up, to get you out of your head, to remind you what matters. Go to yourjoyologist.com/text and you can use code JOY3 to get a discount for the first 3 months. And you can cancel anytime. So if you sign up, like, never mind, I don't feel like this is worth it to me, you cancel, you'll still get them for the rest of the month. Just like, you know, if you have a Netflix subscription or something, you can cancel the day after you joined and you still get that month and it just expires. Anyway. I do not put my worth, the quality of what I'm sharing, or any of that in the amount of likes I have, the amount of followers I have, the amount of people that have bought my book, the amount of people that sign up for my stuff. And like I said, I have rarely done that. But sure, sometimes it can be real easy to be like, but why not me? Oh, this person has this account just reshares other people's quotes and they have a million followers. Oh, do I want to do that? Do I just want to reshare other people's quotes and have a million followers? But like, that's not the goal. Like that is, right? They're inspiring people to whatever, love themselves and be fulfilled. And how they are doing it is by resharing other people's quotes. And a lot of times those people don't even give the credit and they cut off the author and all of that. Whew, that I don't love. But it's like I said, it can be frustrating when you can see, oh, interesting. Why does that account have so much this? And, oh, how come my posts or how come my posts don't get very much? And my posts used to get this many likes and now they don't. And the reality, especially with social media, is that it's out of my freaking hands. The algorithm changes. You don't know how many people they're even showing the things are to or that. But also, when I just said it's out of my hands when it's social media, really it's always out of our hands. And one thing I do know that my history, my background of working in the music industry, starting out when I was 19 and working at House of Blues Chicago, just starting out, not knowing what I was learning. And we had such a variety of artists coming through. Like that was in the height of House of Blues, and especially House of Blues Chicago. Like people loved that venue. It was a beautiful venue. So The Who hadn't played in years. And they were like, we're going to play 5 nights there and we're going to have the Pearl Jam open. Stevie Nicks like made her, you know, like a comeback concert there. It was like just bananas, the types of artists we got there for like, I think it was maybe 1,500 people that could fit in that venue. It was pretty small. maybe 2000. I don't even know. But then at the same time, right, it would be like, oh, Thursday night's like a battle of the bands, local bands. Friday night might be John Mayer solo. He played there a ton before he got big. Saturday is some punk band, and then there's going to be a DJ later, and then Sunday morning gospel brunch, and then there's going to be Wu-Tang Clan. We did Wu-Tang Clan a lot. and then the next day is like Fear Factory, this like heavy metal band. So basically what I'm saying is I got to see from a pretty young age, 19, all of these different levels of artists, musicians, all different types of genres of music as well, of this talent, right? I got to see firsthand that someone's necessarily fame or how many albums they sell or how many tickets they sell doesn't always have to do with their talent. We saw plenty of, especially, right, opening acts. Opening acts are like they're just trying to get out there and play more. They're so lucky usually to get on a bill. Sometimes an opening act is helping the headliner to book the venue, but especially at a smaller venue like that, you know, it's like, okay, you know, and people not always paying attention to these opening acts, but how talented some of these people were. And you would later see some of them blow up and then some never really like go anywhere. Maybe that was because they just gave up. It wasn't worth it to them or whatever may be. But over the many years, so I've worked in different ways in the music industry since then. And what I'm saying is your talent doesn't often directly line up with your outward success and how many tickets, albums, singles, radio listens you get. So having that perspective, knowing that, I knew that. Like, so when it came to me putting my book out, of course, I'm like, I want to be a New York Times bestseller. I'm going to be a New York Times bestseller. It's so rare for a first-time author of nonfiction with a small following to do that, because really it's a lot about early promotion, paying PR, like getting that stuff out there, even like bulk book buys for speaking gigs and stuff. There's a lot of details that work into like getting in the bestseller list, but I don't know all the nitty gritty, but I know it's not like always like directly, you know, I don't know. It's a weird system in some ways, but also yes, who's selling the most books, but not exactly. I don't know. But also, how do you sell the most books if you are, you know, it's like, because it's like the first week you're out or whatever. But I also knew there's books like I Think That You Are a Badass by Jen Sincero. I don't know if this is the truth, but it's what I had heard, that her book hit the New York Times bestseller list like a year after it was out. I don't know if that's the truth, actually. But that was always so soothing to me. So it's like, see, yeah, my book is going to go out there and it's going to like change people's lives. And it might not hit the list that week, but this week. But my book has been out for over a year, and I still believe that's a possibility. I don't know how far-fetched that possibility is. But what I'm saying is I'm so grateful for my history and being around entertainers and artists of such vast talent and also vast differing levels of fame. And again, outward success, like how many albums they've sold or awards they've gotten and how many tickets they sell and stuff like that. But outward success is much different than inner success and how you feel about what you're doing. And a lot of people that are churning away and constantly focused on more and more and more and more and more and more and more. Hey, I got to keep my likes up. I got to keep more followers. I got to get the next pop single. I need to blah, 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 do that thing. That are so focused on the outward success and what they think that means about them, they don't actually feel the inner success. They don't actually feel as fulfilled about what they're doing anymore because they're equating it with the numbers. And there are people behind those numbers, right? So that does make a difference. Like, the reason I would want to be on a New York Times bestseller list is because that means my book has been exposed to lots of other people. They have bought the book, which had made it climb, and then now it's on a list, which will then attract more people to read it, which will hopefully change their lives. And so they will stop being so consumed by shoulds and living more of a life of joy. So, same thing with whatever a person is doing, having the number one song or selling out the amphitheaters or whatever the venue is about more and more and more. But like, well, right, because you are hoping you're impacting those people. It's not so much about the money and that. Hopefully you're being driven by, I want to be impacting more people. But when you struggle like that, and it's so interesting because I see creators of all levels and all of depths, like people that you would think like, wow, based on what they share, they are so at peace with where they are and what they're doing. And like this whole social media and numbers thing, like that's so beyond them. And then this week I saw so many of those people share about like, oh, the algorithm, this and the blah, 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 and this. And see, I'm losing followers and blah. And like, can you let me know that you see my posts? Which again, I get it because it's frustrating, especially if you're used to like this amount of things and that might affect your income and all of that. But oh, it's a rough way to live. So putting your worth in likes and shares and outside quantifiers. There we go. That's what it is. Because I don't know who you are that's listening right now and what you're doing. And so you might not give a damn about social media and anything good for you. But it's that, can you stop putting your worth and fulfillment in outside qualifiers? Because that's what I'm doing. When I would focus on if I a like or that, what it is interesting to be like, oh, interesting. Like my posts are like, I got like 17 likes on some stuff last week. And I don't know if that post really was like, didn't resonate with anybody except those 17 people, or if it just wasn't even seen by them. And so that's the thing. We don't really ever know. There's so many variables. So whatever your life is, whatever your work is, no matter what it is, paying attention to where are you looking for outside variables, outside people, other people to give you the approval of you're doing things right, good job, instead of, oh, this feels good to me. And I have for years just, I mean, I don't know if you would notice by my social media or not. I just share what I want to share and say what I want to say and put it out there when I want to put it out there. And don't try to play any of the rules of this time or this, or I can't post this because I just posted this or that. And sometimes I'm using a, hey, everything's typed this way because that's what's easy for me. And then sometimes I'm sharing for my notes, and sometimes I hit record and my hair is a mess and I don't have any makeup on and I just want to share something really quick in a reel that I'm just motivated by. I want to say this right now, and not when is the best way to do this with the that. So going back to, why are you doing this? Why am I even sharing on social media? It doesn't matter. Like, yeah, it does matter, likes and stuff like that, because that is the information. They'll be like, oh, okay, yes, we will give her a book deal. We will give her this. Oh, we will sponsor her podcast, right? So numbers do matter. And also, but the reality of like, how do I feel? I put that out there. It didn't resonate with anybody. I felt like it needed to be said and heard and found and discovered. And maybe it did resonate with people and it confronted them, and that's why they didn't like it. Like actually physically like the post. So stop. That's another big thing I've stopped. So I said putting my worth in shares or likes, but really is putting my worth in outside circumstances. Or no, what was I saying? So putting your feelings of worthiness in external numbers, in external what other people may or may not think. How do you feel about the choices that you are making? How do you feel about what you're doing, what you're offering, what you're creating, how you're showing up at your job, right? How do you feel that the inner success is that you feel fulfilled? And that can be, even if you're not making as much money as you want to, even if you're not doing everything that you want to. But at the end of the day, can you feel a little dose of fulfillment because, oh, you kept your word to yourself. Oh, I helped a stranger. Oh, I spent some time in nature. Because also time is not infinite. There's a million things that I would like to do, want to do in my life, and I don't know how much life I have to live. So we also just can't be putting our feelings of success and being fulfilled in once I have do this, be this, blah, 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 blah. Because those things may never happen to no fault of your own, not because you're not good enough or because you didn't do that, because we don't know what's happening today. If, well, a hurricane came to LA this weekend, there was not much damage in my area, but who the heck knows? Who knows what that could have done to me? The fires everywhere. That's just natural disasters, but we really never know. So stop putting your feelings of worthiness and of fulfillment in outside circumstances or in outside perspectives even. So those are three things that I didn't recently stop, but three things I've stopped that made such an impact in my life. And I would love for you to apply them some way in your life or to notice, where do you want to stop doing? What can you stop doing? And paying attention to how you feel, because it's your life. Claim it. And if you didn't know, that's why the podcast is named Claim It. Because so often we can be unconsciously chasing these feelings of, I'll be enough, I'll be fulfilled, I'll be worthy, I'll be successful once I do this. Like if for me, let's say, oh, once my book hits the New York Times bestseller list, or once I have this many people signing up for my course, or blah, 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 once this many people sign up for my new daily text subscription, go to yourdrologist.com/text, use code JOY3, then I will be worthy and successful. And then usually even if that were to happen, you meet the goal, then you just end up moving it to another goal. So when you're looking for outside circumstances to be I'm enough when, fulfilled when, successful when, you usually will never feel it. But if you ask yourself, what does that feel like? Not what does it look like? So often we're focused on what it looks like, what we think it will look like, instead of what it feels like. Like, yep, I will feel awesome when my book hits the New York Times bestseller list. And also, I can feel great from like the fact that reading, you know, that anybody has bought it and told me what a difference, like that one person has messaged me and truly said how it has changed their lives, which many people have, and the reviews and all of that. So the reality of even people I look up to saying, holy shit, I can't believe you wrote this epic book, right? But also me just being proud of the fact I did it. I wrote this book that I wanted to write. I feel great about that. So my feelings of being successful, worthy enough, based in how I feel, not in how my circumstances or my life look. All right. Sending you so much love. Again, go sign up for my daily text messages. Why not try them out? People are loving them. yourdrologist.com/text. You can use code JOY3 to get $3 off the first 3 months. You can cancel at any time. So you can cancel immediately after signing up and just pay for the discounted 1 month and see how you like it. You can always resubscribe. I'm really, really loving it. The way to be like right there, right in your text messages. You can scroll back through easily instead of like opening social media and getting distracted or email lists or whatever, right? So super, super awesome. Go check it out, and I appreciate you.